First Coast Connect with Melissa Ross is sponsored in part by Baptist Health.
It's now all hands on deck to fight the Delta variant. Good morning. We're live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. Just ahead, why a prominent local business group is now joining with healthcare workers and elected officials and urging everyone to get the facts on vaccines. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Then later, why Florida voters are expressing increasing alarm that politics, not science, is driving public health decisions in this state when it comes to the pandemic. But first this hour, get the facts, Jax. That's the name of a new website and a new campaign for this city aimed at increasing Duval's vaccination rate. This, as Jacksonville and our surrounding counties are now being overwhelmed with unvaccinated patients filling ICUs and emergency rooms around the region. Sick with COVID-19, they are needing intensive care, and this includes children that are in ICUs. This is, it can't be stated enough, a public health crisis that has really reached a boiling point this week in this city. Jeannie Miller is the president and CEO of the Jacksonville Civic Council. They've launched a new campaign to improve vaccination rates in the city. It's called Get the Facts, Jax. Jeannie's on the line. Jeannie, good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Always good to have you on the show. Give us a call, folks, as we talk about Get the Facts, Jax, and the campaign to increase vaccination rates. Only about 50% of you out there have gotten the vaccine so far. 549-2937. Give us a call. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJax. So, Jeannie, Jacksonville lags the national and state average with our vaccination rate of just 50%, and we are one of the top hotspots in the country in this most recent wave of the virus. According to what the healthcare folks are telling us, about a 25% positivity rate. Tell us about this campaign, Get the Facts, Jax.
Sure, and thanks so much for having me on. The campaign is really focused around providing information in a single location, independent information for that is easy to read and easy to use, easy to access in both Spanish and in English. It's to provide information for anyone who has questions about the vaccine. We know that there's some vaccine hesitancy in town and in the region. We also know from science that once a community reaches a certain threshold of immunity, it grew. We knew this took on increasing importance.
We're speaking with Jeannie Miller, president and CEO of the Jacksonville Civic Council, about Get the Facts, Jax, a local vaccination awareness campaign to try to get this city's vaccination rate up so that fewer people are filling local ICUs. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. It is so heartbreaking and so maddening, Jeannie, to see that virtually everyone now on a ventilator in a local hospital or in the ER or the ICU is unvaccinated. A year and a half into this, there is still so much vaccine misinformation out there. People believe all manner of things about the vaccines that aren't true. They believe that the vaccine can impact a woman's fertility. That's not true. They believe that the vaccine is more dangerous than getting COVID. That's not true. They believe the vaccine was rushed into approval and that it's not safe in some way or another. That's not true. These vaccines are safe and effective, and they will protect you from going to the hospital literally unable to breathe so that you have to be hooked up to machines simply to get a breath. I just wish that people could see what it's like inside these ICUs and hear the cries of the patients who are so regretful and remorseful and wish they had gotten the vaccine, Jeannie, because what the doctors and nurses are telling us is that they come into the hospital scared to death because they can't breathe and they beg for the vaccine as they're being intubated. But by then it's too late.
It is. It is, and you're absolutely right, Melissa. It is, we're hearing that from our frontline, and really a big shout out to our frontline workers, our hospitals, to every health clinic out there, because they are seeing this, and these people have been working nonstop for 15 to 18 months. They've been trying to spread the word, and their hearts also are breaking. But I don't know if you've ever, if for anyone who's had COVID, if you know what it's like not to be able to breathe, but, our bodies are trained to breathe, to breathe at all costs. And so it is frightening. And listening to folks who were reluctant, but they really didn't, because they didn't know. As your next guest will mention, let's rely on facts, the best factual information we have at the time. Let's rely on that to make decisions, and not just for policymakers, but for you and your family. That's what's most important. If you have, you have your loved ones, your parents. I think we all wanted our parents to get vaccinated, but if we want our parents to get vaccinated, our older parents, then let's make sure our kids are. Let's make sure we are, because, I don't know about, I know about everyone else. We want to be able to visit, return to what we, all of the activities we love to do. And during this time, when you're feeling a sense of loss of community, family is who you turn to. And even the family, the friends that we call family.
Absolutely. 549-2937. As we talk about the new campaign, Get the Facts, Jax. Check out getthefactsjax.org for factual scientific information about COVID vaccines. And if you have not been vaccinated, go get vaccinated, please. It will protect you. The Delta variant is surging through this community. We are a national hotspot, and hospitals are currently overwhelmed with unvaccinated patients who are seriously ill with the variant of this disease. Please get the vaccine, folks. 549-2937. Give us a call. Mitch is on the line. Hi, Mitch. Good morning.
Good morning. Your guest mentioned that we should have a healthy workforce. And I was wondering if when we call to get personal services for technicians to come into our home, when we call the company, we could ask them if the technician that they're sending out, if they're fully vaccinated. And if they're not vaccinated, ask them to send us a vaccinated technician.
Right. That gets into an interesting issue, Mitch. Thank you for that call. Jeannie Miller, you lead an organization of CEOs primarily. And yes. As this thing continues, they are going to be contemplating some tough decisions about mandating vaccines for their workforce. The VA is now mandating vaccines. Mayo Clinic came out this week and said they're going to mandate vaccines for their workforce. So from a business perspective, where is the civic council on this thorny issue?
Melissa, it's a as I said, a privately funded campaign, and each organization is a private organization. Each organization is going to have to make that tough decision for their workforce. To Mitch, when I have personal service providers coming in, whether it's cable or someone cleaning, rugs or whatever, I ask them to wear a mask, but asking to be vaccinated, I think the more we can articulate our preference, the more we can express our preference to business owners, the more hopefully they will begin encouraging their employees. But that's going to be a decision for every single employee. Of course, a lot of business models are changing, in terms of at home and remote workers. But for those who want to get back to, especially large companies, want to get back into, the high rises and get back to larger campus type settings, I think you're going to see an increase in requirements or some level of requirements. But at this point in time, it is voluntary, and we want to make sure that everyone is relying on factual information. As you pointed out, Melissa, just earlier, you know, the vaccine has been tested. There are several remedies, alleged remedies, like hydroxychloroquine, that have not been tested, that are experimental. They might help, they might not, but we know, to the best of our ability, what works and what doesn't. Nothing is a panacea. This is a brand new virus, and we're having new evolutions of that virus. So the best thing you can do is not just protect yourself and protect your loved ones, but ask others to do the same. And if they're coming into contact with you, ask them. Ask them if they've been vaccinated, and ask them if they've or if they would wear a mask.
Yeah. I mean, we have a mask mandate here at WJCT Public Media, and we have had that in place since March of 2020. And, you know, with this variant now really causing so much havoc, just folks, keep the masks on. You know, the mask mandate has expired, unfortunately, but when you go to the store, when you go anywhere in public where you're going to be around others, put on the mask, please. It will protect you and others. Charity is on the line. Hi, Charity. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
So I contracted COVID back in December of 2020. And looking on the CDC website, it states that because I do have the antibodies, and I'll read it verbatim from the site. It says SARS-CoV-2 reinfection has been documented. Reinfection has been documented. However, studies indicate that persons with anti-SARS-CoV-2 antibodies are less likely to develop subsequent infections than persons without antibodies. Persons who tested antibody positive following the first outbreak were approximately 96% less to become infected during the second outbreak. So I personally won't get the vaccine. I have been tested for the antibodies. Do we know how long the antibodies last? No. Do we know how long the vaccine lasts? No. But I feel like
actually, Charity, that's not true. We've interviewed a number of epidemiologists, doctors about this. The antibodies from the vaccine give you longer lasting protection than the antibodies you carried when you contracted the disease. So they do recommend that you get the vaccine.
Okay, so COVID just hit my household from a super spreader event July 4th. My 13-year-old daughter, my husband got hit with all of the symptoms really bad. I'm taking care of these individuals unmasked. I don't get it. However, my friends, who her and her husband got vaccinated back in March, they got hit hard with COVID symptoms in the same manner, but I didn't. So whose antibodies or whose vaccine is stronger? I don't go off of, you know, what I hear, you know, what they put out there, because it is politically driven. I am one of those. I go off of what just happened to me and what I observed and what happened.
I get it, Charity, but here's the thing. You can't, when you look at this in the overall, when you look at vast fields of data, that is what is driving this advice, this medical advice, not just a personal anecdote. I totally get where you're coming from. But what public health experts and scientists say overwhelmingly is, please, let me just finish. You can't make these decisions based on anecdotes. I don't know how many times I need to say this to folks. They hear a story or something happened in their family and they make a decision not to get vaccinated based on that. I'm respectfully suggesting to you that that is not wise. Okay. I'm just telling you that they've studied this and the numbers are overwhelming that vaccinations prevent hospitalization and death. And so that is simply my plea to you. And I'm so sorry that your family was affected by this, truly.
Yeah. And I'm reading from CDC website. So I'm not just pulling this, you know, out of thin air.
And the Get the Facts Jax website is using that too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, Charity, look, I appreciate your call and I'm sorry you were sick. And so, Jeannie, okay, let's talk about this because I can understand where Charity's coming from. She was sick. She's had family members who were sick. They are experiencing this in their home. So it's challenging to convince people who've had these difficult experiences, and they see that there really is no rhyme or reason to this. They're just so frustrating. Some people get really sick and some people don't. Some people who've been vaccinated get a breakthrough case of COVID and some people don't. So, you know, the analogy I've tried to give folks is if you get in the car and go somewhere, you're going to put your seatbelt on. If there's an accident, you might get hurt, but you are far less likely to die if you're wearing that seatbelt. Is it a 100% panacea? No, but you have more protection if you're wearing the seatbelt.
You're absolutely right, Melissa. And let's remember, last year when it was hitting different populations, some people had minimal, if any, symptoms, and then others had horrible symptoms. Here's what we know about the vaccinations, and I too had COVID in December, and it was awful, and I'm still suffering some of the effects. But I got the vaccination, and I want to tell you why. What we're hearing, and you know, we know from Israel and other countries who have had this before us, that more and more and more dangerous variants are occurring. And the variants develop when your population is not sufficiently immune, when you don't have a certain level of immunity. So we know that, and I pray for the caller that she does not contract the Delta variant, or what's coming next is the Lambda variant. The best way to protect against those variants right now is the vaccine. That's the best knowledge we have at this time. And yeah, we might need a booster later, but heck, we need a booster for the flu every year, and we're going to make sure we get that. So, you know, I'd go even one step further with your analogy. It's not just putting on the seatbelt. Just because I've maybe had a car accident in the past, maybe I drive a little safer, but it still means I'm going to keep putting on my seatbelt.
Yeah,
right? I'm going to keep trying that. And that's, I think, the hardest part of all of this is that COVID is unpredictable. It hits people in different ways. And so personally, the people I know who have had COVID and are unvaccinated, that's their primary argument. And I just, you know, I would hate for them to go into the hospital with the Delta variant, which we know is far more lethal and is far more dangerous. The vaccine helps prevent you. It may not help prevent getting COVID, but it helps minimize those symptoms so you can stay off of the ventilator, stay out of the ICU, and stay home.
MG emails the show, my biggest motivator to get vaccinated was, what will happen to my very special dog if I have to go to the hospital or even worse, die, leaving him abandoned? Yeah, get the vaccine for your loved ones, whether they are four-legged friends or human beings. Tom emails the show, how about local businesses giving vaccinated people an option for safe service? Restaurants, bars, hairstylists should dedicate 1 or 2 days a week for only vaccinated customers. Thanks for that, Tom. Pagin is on the line. Pagin.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. I am so grateful and thankful for this campaign. This is so important. It's about prevent, protect, and serve. Protect ourselves, prevent this spread, and serve our community and our family. But I wanted to just share something, state something. I think that it's really important that you ask people if they are vaccinated. It's my right to protect our family, protect my staff who's coming into my business, protect my neighbors to ask. And people get confused about the HIPAA law. They say, you can't ask that question. The truth of the matter is, yes, you can. The HIPAA law only covers certain entities, and those covered entities include health plans. They can't share your information. Healthcare providers, doctors and things like that, can't share your information. And healthcare clearinghouses can't share your information. However, that means that you or me as a business owner, I can certainly ask you, are you vaccinated, and show me proof. You don't want to show it, you're not coming in. If in my home, I can ask, have you been vaccinated? I'm not breaking any laws by doing that, but I am committed to prevent spread, protect the people and my staff, and to serve our community by saying, get vaccinated, and are you vaccinated?
Pagin, yeah. As a business owner, it's great to hear your insight on that. Thank you for that. Jeannie Miller, you know, this. I think this is the week that unvaccinated America said, we've had enough, you know, or excuse me, I misspoke. This is the week vaccinated America said, we've had enough with the unvaccinated folks, and we can demand that they get the vaccine or not come to our workplace or not come into our home or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And, you know, that's the right of every business owner. And as the caller stated, who sounds like a small business owner or business owner, and as well as personal service providers, I'm hearing more and more of that. And so when you're scheduling, whether it's getting your hair or anything else done, you're going to, you may start, and it's up to every business to decide, you know, which days or what they're going to, because, you know, these folks are also on the front lines and even for service. You know, our entertainment and our service industry has taken a huge hit over time. So I don't know how, I mean, that industry has plugged away and they're doing the best they can and protecting themselves. You notice that most of them are protecting themselves. So, you know, let's protect each other. And I think that's part of this, because we all want to get back. There's a certain segment of the population that's going to go back no matter what. But this is a diverse, thriving community. The workforce is robust with a great diversity, not just of people, but of skills and talent and intellect and thoughts. So we want to get back to that, to the robust community that we know and that we love.
Josh tweets the show, please make sure listeners understand that private entities can mandate vaccination. Look at the NFL, look at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And also, mandating is not the same as forcing. You have the freedom to not work there or not to attend school at somewhere when doing so conflicts with your personal views. Okay, Braun on the West Side has a comment about this. Hi, Braun. You're on the air.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you doing?
Great, thanks. Go ahead.
My comment is, and it sounds to me like I'm on the opposite side of this fence from you guys, but I personally don't believe in the vaccine, neither does my ex-wife.
And, why not?
My comment.
Why not?
Well, there's many reasons, but the most important is personal choice. And second, all of the past decade, the big fight between, and I know this isn't related, but a big fight between a woman saying it's my choice, my body, and now it's our choice, our bodies, but companies are now enforcing it through their right because they're a business owner saying you can't work here anymore. When's it going to be that you can't go to school here anymore for our children?
Kids have to get vaccines to go to school. Braun, kids cannot enter school without a range of vaccines. That has been mandated for many years.
I don't agree with that either.
Okay. Well, I really hope that you don't get sick. And that the people you love don't get sick. I really do, Braun. I really do. And, okay, Jeannie Miller, what about Braun's point of view?
You know, that's, Braun, you're absolutely entitled to your point of view. And this country is founded on certainly free will and free choice. But at the same time, we also have a duty and a sense of to each other and to our community. And I think one of the callers mentioned serve. This is about service to others. And so if you choose not to get vaccinated, you know, then mask up and take every other precaution, not just for you, but for other people. You know, it's your choice, but, too many people, I think, are going down, they're using rationale that is not related to facts and science.
And we
and
just
so
got
part of this.
Yeah, let me just interject quickly. We got a tweet from a listener who commented that pregnancy is not contagious. In other words, my body, my choice. You know, that's not a good analogy because when you're pregnant, you're not infecting anyone else. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Yeah, but you know, too many people are relying on either personal stories, anecdotes, their beliefs, and not looking at the facts. So let's look at the facts. Let's look at the best science we know available to us and make those decisions. And certainly if a person has, they have the right to decide that, but they also, as someone else mentioned, you know, private business owners have the right to make decisions on behalf of their workforce, and you have a choice to work or to not work. But at this point in time, The goal is to increase overall immunity so that Jacksonville is not a hub for infection and not a hub for breeding a new version or variant of this virus. We want to get back to a safe, healthy community. And Melissa, as you mentioned, you know, there are going to be folks who object to, you know, the measles, mumps, rubella, all of the requirements for childhood vaccines. They're going to be, and there can be conscientious objectors. The law recognizes that. But for the most part, and those people have to find other accommodations for their kids in many cases. But in this case, we're looking at, let's look at the data, let's look at the facts, and remember, COVID is probably one of the most unpredictable viruses we've ever encountered.
That's right. Check out the website, getthefactsjax.org. Jeannie Miller, President and CEO of the Jacksonville Civic Council. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Melissa.
Much more still ahead. A little later in the hour, why parents are calling for the state to reinstitute mask mandates for kids when school starts in a few weeks, just as the governor holds a secret meeting saying he'd like masks to be optional. That's later, but up next.
Across the board, we want our policymakers to be using evidence when they're making their public policy decisions. There's no example better than the COVID-19 pandemic.
Why advocates say science, not politics, should be guiding public health decisions in Florida right now. That's next. Well, many Americans are concerned that politics is affecting public health decisions in Florida right now on masking, especially in schools. Rachel Carestis is head of the national organization Science Is Us. They work on bridging the gap between policymakers and the science community. She lives here part-time, and she shared her thoughts with me. Hey, Rachel, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So this seems like it should be common sense. Relying on science and evidence-based decisions when people here in Florida, our elected officials, are making decisions about COVID, whether it comes to vaccination requirements for businesses or masks in schools. Unfortunately, that's not what's happening. So as the director of Science Is Us, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think across the board, we want our policymakers to be using evidence when they're making their public policy decisions. And certainly, I think there's no example better than the COVID-19 pandemic for why policymakers should at least attempt to be using evidence in science in their policy decision making. I think at the beginning of this pandemic, there was a lot we didn't know. And I've said to policymakers, look, you're watching the science happen in real time. Normally we have time to go and figure things out and we can come back to you with recommendations, but you're kind of going along with us for the ride on this. And that did create confusion at the beginning of this, particularly with respect to masks, what we should do in schools, even what we should do in places of business. But it's been almost a year and a half. And so now we really know what we need to do. We know what the evidence is. We have published literature on masks. We know what works in terms of the schools and all of the mitigation efforts that we had in place last school year. We know how to keep the community safe. And so I think we need to keep reminding policymakers that we're in a better place now in terms of the science and the evidence. We know more. Now it's just really about sticking with what we know, what we've learned, what we figured out, so that we can all get to the end of this pandemic.
And that makes total sense. But unfortunately, that's not happening. I mean, for example, here right. In Florida, kids are about to go back to school soon without a mask mandate. parents are increasingly worried about that. Governor DeSantis says there isn't science to support the wearing of masks among children in schools. And I'm assuming he's basing that on the data that showed that there wasn't high COVID transmission in schools when they returned to in-person class. But, you know, masks do reduce the spread of the disease. And with this Delta variant that's surging through the state, these trend lines aren't coming together in a good way. So, you know, you're saying, yes, let's use science to make good policy decisions, but that isn't happening in Florida.
Right. Well, and I think we also have to push on what the science is, right? There is published, peer-reviewed scientific studies that do in fact show that masks are very effective in slowing the spread of the COVID-19. We also have that evidence in schools. We have seen that. That evidence and data about schools not being the source of community spread comes from schools where kids were wearing masks. It comes from schools that were doing the mitigation strategies of being social distance, limiting capacity, all of those things that we learned over the last year. So the question then becomes, how do we get policymakers to use that evidence? And I think that it really becomes incumbent upon all of us to reach out to our policymakers and say, hey, we see this is where the evidence is. We see this is where the science is. We want you to make those decisions. We want you to act in accordance with the science and the evidence.
Parents are speaking out. Now, the CDC is recommending, or is expected to recommend, all K through 12 students wear masks when school starts in a few weeks, whether or not they've been vaccinated. This directly contradicts the masks optional policy sent down by the Florida Department of Education to school districts. And on Monday, Governor Ron DeSantis held a secret meeting with a collection of scientists who railed against masking kids for the upcoming school year. Dr. Jill Jenks is on the line. She's a parent activist who is pushing Duval County Public Schools to make masks mandatory. Dr. Jenks, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
So you're the mother of two kids. You've got one enrolled in the Duval schools, not old enough to be vaccinated yet. Is that why you're motivated to ask Duval to continue a mask policy?
Yeah, all of our family members who are able to get vaccinated have recognized the good fortune, you know, that we have with an opportunity for what is a highly effective vaccine against COVID. But as our two young daughters aren't able to get vaccinated yet, it just seems careless to not have a mandatory mask mandate in the schools, and particularly for those in our most vulnerable populations, including our kids who don't have the chance to get vaccinated yet.
The American Academy of Pediatrics is now recommending everyone older than age 2 wear masks indoors, regardless of vaccination status. The Centers for Disease Control is also calling for masks in schools because the Delta variant is so deadly and contagious right now. There was a rally at the Duval County Public Schools offices over the weekend asking for a mask mandate. What are your thoughts about the governor holding a meeting that wasn't publicly noticed with his medical advisors who all railed against masks for kids in schools? And the governor has gone so far to say he will actually call the state legislature into special session to fight any federal directive on masks in schools.
It feels frustrating when a simple protection like wearing a mask could be a very effective way to prevent spread. We know that the science and the data support that. So we really would love if local and state leaders can support the same so our students and families can remain safe going into the school year.
You know, there are parents who feel just as strongly as you do on the other side of this. They don't like the idea of their children being mandated to mask up again as classes begin. How do you talk to those parents?
Yeah, I think to myself that I don't want to cause conflict, and I want people to stay safe. Our family has opted for the vaccine and to wear masks to protect not only ourselves, but to protect others. And we just ask that others act with kindness and respect and goodwill to others so that we can, you know, get to the other side of this pandemic, have a return to normalcy, return to being maskless again. You know, while it's certainly a choice that people can make, pandemics aren't personalized. It's a personal choice that impacts the health and safety of those around you with a contagious disease like COVID-19. I would hope that people could really just use their frustrated energy to speak to their doctors, healthcare providers, and get his or her point of views on the different risks and benefits of masks and vaccines, because I think we know the science and data speak to that.
There are children in local ICUs now. That said, children are less likely to become seriously ill or die from this disease, and we're getting emails about this. So what's your answer to those who look at the much lower death and hospitalization rates for kids and don't see the need for another mass mandate this year?
Right. It's true that the data suggests that the children are at less risk of developing serious consequences from COVID. However, there's a growing body of research out there that we're learning that around long-haul COVID symptoms. And if there's a simple protective measure like wearing masks, let's just not take the risk with our kids and keep our families safe.
You have reached out to the superintendent and the school board about these concerns. They are not likely, unless the pressure becomes overwhelming, Dr. Jenks, to change their position since they would be getting crosswise with Tallahassee.
Right.
That's where we are. Even though the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics are saying mask kids up, the powers that be in the state of Florida are diametrically opposed to that, which means superintendents and school boards are caught in the crosshairs.
Yeah, I recognize the challenge that the superintendent and the school board have. We really do need recommendations coming down from the Department of Education, the Department of Health, City of Jacksonville, so that entities like UCPS can make changes to help our kids stay safe. We have a petition that I'm supporting through change.org called Parents in Favor of a Mask Mandate. In the past just 24 hours, over 1,000 signatures are there. So those who want to protect our kids, you're not alone. And we'd love to get some leadership that also kind of supports our stance on this.
Are you concerned that kids who do mask up might feel uncomfortable or conspicuous, given that it will be voluntary and the majority of kids likely won't be masked, that, I don't know, that they might be bullied for keeping their masks on?
Well, I think that's a concern. In our family, we have just stated the facts. We're wearing masks to protect ourselves and to protect other people. I'm hopeful that a good majority of people, even if it's not a mandate, will wear masks to do the same. At the same time, I think the challenge is there's a bit of confusion when some people are masked and some people aren't. So the AAP and CDC recommendations for masks for people in the schools, regardless of vaccination status, seems to make a lot of sense. It just makes it easier for our kids and the staff and families.
And have you had a reply back yet from education officials? Anything besides that statement that you got earlier? As I mentioned, there was a rally outside the school board offices over the weekend about this.
Yeah, the word I'm hearing from the school district is that they'll continue to consult with local and state officials to monitor the spread. And as we know, the spread is quite high with hospitals being overwhelmed by COVID-19. And so I'm hopeful that there'll be a reevaluation of how to move forward as the school year begins.
Yeah, I do think we're just going to have to stay close to this because it is a fluid situation and it could change. If there's one thing we've learned over the last year and a half is this isn't a straight line. Things have been going up and down and it can get better for a while and then it can get worse for a while. We are not out of this yet. So sincere thanks to you, Jill. She's Dr. Jill Jenks, a local parent and psychologist and activist around masks for kids in schools. We will follow this because school is starting soon. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks.
Okay. These are serious times, but there is always a bit of sunshine to sprinkle in with the rain. Some good news for your midweek coming up in our What's Good Wednesdays in just a moment. That's next.
Mayo Clinic. If you're looking for answers no one else has been able to find, and it's time to get some certainty once and for all, you know where to go. Mayo Clinic. More at mayoclinic.org/Florida.
Vistar believes in better convenience. With mobile banking, you can check balances, transfer funds, and deposit checks. It's banking wherever you are, whenever you want. Learn more about all that Vistar has to offer at vistarcu.org.
Next time on The World, the Christian minority in Sudan.
I can just remember people looking at you and telling you, oh, you're someone who's going to hell because you're not Muslim, you're not covering up your hair.
As Sudan tries to rebuild its global connections, Sudanese Christians say they're being treated better.
We have like neighbors who walk in and say, Happy Christmas or Happy Easter.
Sudanese Christians, next time on The World.
This afternoon at 3, here on WJCT News 89.9.
I'm Celeste Headlee.
It's the American Ariel Hayes all the way. He wins in 10 seconds, a new Olympic record and equaling the world record.
Sprinter Bob Hayes was one of the heroes of the 1964 Olympics in Tokyo. We'll look back at the games that marked a symbolic rebirth for Japan after World War II. That's next time on Here and Now.
Today at 2 on WJCT News 89.9.
Unlike other parts of the city, Roseland, a neighborhood on Chicago's south side, hasn't seen recent large spikes in crime. Gun violence is not extreme, but it is persistent. New data looks at the real toll that's taking on the local economy and the health of its predominantly black community, how Roseland is responding, and what lessons it has for the rest of the country. Next time on 1A.
Today, starting at 10 on WJCT News 89.9.
Welcome back. Well, renowned jazz saxophonist Dave Koz is coming to town with two shows set for this Sunday at the Florida Theater. That leads off our What's Good Wednesdays, some positive news and notes for your week. The Dave Koz and Friends show will also feature a performance from North Florida's own superstar musician and performer, Mindy Hebert. Koz told me all about the show. Take a listen.
But I can't even believe that we're talking about this after the long winter of COVID. Mm-hmm. We were all derailed last year from doing what we love to do. So it's sort of a strange time. I talked to a lot of artists about getting back on the road this summer. And I think we're all really excited and all a little bit nervous that we hope that it all comes back kind of like riding a bike. But if we were coming back, this is exactly how I would like to do it, surrounded by my great friends. So the Summer Horns package is something that we've had for about maybe the last 7 or 8 years, and it's usually a collection of wonderful horn players, each artist in their own right. And this year, really stunning collection of great friends and great horn players, Kirk Whalum, Mindy Hebert, Vincent Ngala, and yours truly. And each of us bringing our own music as well as summer horns music, like hits from great horn bands of yesteryear, Earth, Wind & Fire and Tower Power and Blood, Sweat & Tears and Chicago and those kinds of songs. So it's a real fun night out, and we love the Florida Theater. It's one of the most historic places in the country to play, so every time we take the stage there, it's a complete blast.
Sure. And Mindy Hebert has local ties here in our neck of the woods, too.
Yeah, she's born and raised in Florida. She hosts a festival of her own. I think it's more in the southern Florida area every year. And so every time that she comes there, and Mindy and I are great friends. We've traveled together. She was one of the original Summer Horns way back when we started this outfit. And every time that we are on the stage together in Florida, there's a little extra, a little sprinkle in what she does, because she's her hometown crew.
Absolutely. And this is going to be a fun show, too. It's just, it's fun music to get into.
Well, it's music of my era. You know, I grew up with all those bands. There was, like, the horn section. And as a saxophone player, I started playing when I was 13 years old. And I loved the sound of a tight horn section. And that was, the first album I ever bought was a group called Tower of Power, who still to this day is my favorite group of all time. And when you hear that power coming from a horn section, and the horn section has been used in so much amazing music over the years. So that's why we developed this. And the original group of Summer Horns, we all kind of had that same passion. We all grew up playing in sections and in big bands and in horn sections. And so we made this record that was a tribute to all these bands that we grew up loving.
Check it out. Dave Koz and Friends, 2 shows Sunday at the Florida Theater. And here's some more good news for your week. Tonight at 7 p.m., Jax Now will host 2 exceptional speakers via Zoom, Duval County Schools Board Member Elizabeth Anderson and Florida State Representative Tracy Davis. They'll be discussing critical education issues on the minds of parents right now as kids prepare for another school year. Very timely. Register for that Zoom. It's tonight at 7 p.m. Register at jacksonvillenow.org. Well, the I'm a Star Foundation and the Florida Times Union are hosting some conversations between young people in Jacksonville and mental health experts as students readjust to school this fall. You might have seen that U.S. Olympian Simone Biles, the greatest of all time, the GOAT, she had to exit the Tokyo Olympics gymnastics team final this week, citing mental health concerns. Biles is a supporter of Duval's I'm a Star Foundation. She has shared inspirational messages with star teen leaders. I'm a Star kids believe a conversation on mental health is necessary, so STARS aged 12 to 18 conducted a survey on kids' feelings and attitudes at this phase of the pandemic. The Florida Times Union will provide a platform to discuss the survey findings in a conversation on Zoom Thursday night. The teens are expressing concerns about isolation, reconnecting with friends, and more. The goal is to empower their overall wellness as they prepare for the upcoming school year. Check out Kids, COVID-19, and Mental Health Thursday at 6 p.m. streaming on jacksonville.com and youtube.com/I'm a Star Foundation. One more virtual event happening today. It's the Florida High School Athletic Association holding an event today until 2. It's a Florida Student Athlete Leadership Seminar, giving student athletes tips on how they can do their best. Here's the association's Quentin Urshak.
So we're hoping that the skills that they take away from our keynote speakers, how students can utilize their mental health and how that can affect their teams, and also how diversity plays a role within sports. We're hoping students can take those back to their schools.
Check it out at fhsaa.org, happening today if you have a student athlete at your house. And that's our show. Thanks for listening. Thanks also to producer Heather Schatz. Director Josh Torres, Editorial Director Jessica Palumbo, and Digital Editor Bill Bortsfield. Keep those emails coming. Send your feedback to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org and catch our podcast up later today on all platforms wherever you like to listen. You can also listen through the WJCT app. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect on WJCT News 89.9 Jacksonville. Be safe out there, folks. Get the vaccine and get those masks back on, please. Have a great Wednesday.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.